He closed his eyes, forcing himself to focus on his task. "Everything's progressing," the nurse said when he turned. "Everything looks fine. I'd put her at 10 centimeters. See what you think."
He sat on the low stool and reached up into the soft, warm cave of his wife's body. The amniotic sac was still intact, and through it he could feel the baby's head, smooth and hard like a baseball. His child. He should be pacing a waiting room somewhere. Across the room, the blinds were closed on the only window, and as he pulled his hand from the warmth of his wife's body, he found himself wondering about the snow, if it was falling still, silencing the city and the land beyond.
"Yes," he said, 10 centimeters.
"Phoebe,"
his wife said. He could not see her face, but her voice was clear. They had been discussing names for months and had reached no decisions.
"For a girl, Phoebe, and for a boy, Paul, after my great uncle. Did I tell you this?" she asked. "I meant to tell you I decided."
"Those are good names," the nurse said, soothing.
"Phoebe and Paul,"
the doctor repeated, but he was concentrating on the contraction now rising in his wife's flesh. He gestured to the nurse, who readied the gas. During his residency years, the practice had been to put the woman in labor out completely until the birth was over. But times had changed. It was 1964, and Bentley, he knew, used gas more selectively. Better that she should be awake to push. He would put her out for the worst of the contractions, for the crowning and the birth. His wife tensed and cried out, and the baby moved in the birth canal, bursting the amniotic sac.
"Now,"
the doctor said, and the nurse put the mask in place. His wife's hands relaxed, her fists unclenching as the gas took effect, and she lay still, tranquil and unknowing, as another contraction and another moved through her.
"It's coming fast for a first baby," the nurse observed.
"Yes," the doctor said. "So far, so good."
Half an hour passed in this way. His wife roused and moaned and pushed, and when he felt she had had enough, or when she cried out that the pain was overwhelming, he nodded to the nurse, who gave her the gas. Except for the quiet exchange of instructions, they did not speak. Outside, the snow kept falling, drifting along the sides of houses, filling the roads. The doctor sat on a stainless steel chair, narrowing his concentration to the essential facts. He had delivered 5 babies during medical school, all live births and all successful, and he focused now on those, seeking in his memory the details of care. As he did so, his wife, lying with her feet in the stirrups and her belly rising so high that he could not see her face, slowly became one with those other women. Her round knees, her smooth, narrow calves, her ankles, all these were before him, familiar and beloved, yet he did not think to stroke her skin or put a reassuring hand on her knee. It was the nurse who held her hand while she pushed.